Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Consumer Products Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Aman. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q4 FY23 results conference call of Tata Consumer Products Limited. Now I hand over the call to Ms. Nidhi Verma, Head of Investor Relations and Corporate Communication, to take it forward. Thanks, and over to you, Nidhi.
Thanks. Thanks, Aniruddha, and hi and welcome everyone to the Q4 FY23 call of Tata Consumer. I'm joined here by Mr. Sunil D'Souza, MD and CEO, Mr. L. Krishnakumar, Executive Director and Group CFO, and Mr. Ajit Krishnakumar, COO. As we usually do, we will spend about 15, 20 minutes walking you through some of the key highlights of the quarter and the year, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, it's over to you, Sunil.
Yeah. Thanks, Nidhi. Yeah. In summary, we had a strong fourth quarter. Revenue growth of 14%, EBITDA margin of 14.3%. The good news was during the quarter, we had growth in the India beverages business, specifically volumes coming back to growth, up 3%. India foods business, despite all the price increases that we have taken, volume was on a strong trajectory. Salt business margin now with the price increases normalizing is back to the normative range. International business, we had taken pricing actions. Not all of this has flowed through, but even what has flown through, we saw 11% revenue growth, 1% excluding acquisitions, and EBITDA more or less in line with last year. Even on a bottom-line front, the international business has started to stabilize. If I take the full year, revenue up 11%, India business growth of 10%. India business beverages grew 1%, negative 1% volume growth because we had stress during the earlier quarters. Foods business volume growth of 2%, value of 26% with the price increases. International business ex acquisitions was up 4% in constant currency, primarily driven by price increases. We continue to drive the India growth business. They grew 53%, accounted for 15%. Starting from 6% when we took over, they're now up to 15%, so we are growing beyond tea and salt. During the year, we gained market share in salt, but tea volumes saw a marginal dip. We had for MAT March 2023, we had a 50 bps dip in volume share. On profitability, India business EBITDA margins expanded by 90 bps during the year despite inflation in salt. And please remember that the volume growths that happen in the India beverages business start to reflect in market share in the quarters going ahead. We continue to accelerate innovation where we started from 0.8, we are now at 3.4 for FY23. We are in the top quartile, but we will continue to move this up. Free cash flow conversion from EBITDA was close to 99%, and our dividend is up by 40% year-on-year. In terms of performance, India beverages, as I mentioned, volume growth of 3%, revenue 8%. India foods, volume 8%, revenue 26%. U.S. coffee volume was negative 20%. Just to highlight that the way we took pricing in the U.S. was by pack price and de-gramming rather than taking naked pricing. It shows on volume, but overall revenue was up 6%. International ex acquisitions, volume growth 3% and revenue growth ex acquisitions of 6%. Tata Coffee, obviously you've seen the results, 14% volume and 16% revenue. Overall consolidated constant currency growth of 12%, reported 14%. In group performance, we delivered revenue 3,619 crores at 12% constant currency growth. 518 crores of EBITDA, which was up 13. Group net profit was up by 21 at 290 crores, and we have roughly 3,000 crores of cash. Margins expanded and EPS was, for the full year, was up by 28%. In terms of our strategic priorities, number one was we had made a statement in September of 2020 saying that in 1 year we'll grow, double our direct distribution, and in 3 years we'll double our numeric reach. So the target was to hit 4 million outlets by September of 23. We are at 3.8 as of March, so well on track to achieve that. And in terms of direct reach, we've expanded 3 times from where we started in FY20. Going forward, you'll see 2 important things which will continue to accelerate this. A is all 10 lakh plus towns. We are splitting our sales front end to provide focus on food and beverage, and going down to appoint direct distributors in all 50,000 plus towns and significant amount of 20,000 plus to drive distribution and plug our share gaps in semi-urban and rural. Alternate channels, good story. Overall, contribution from modern trade is now 14 and e-commerce 9. Modern trade grew 21, e-commerce grew 32. The beauty about e-commerce, it allows us to pilot all our innovation and figure out what's working, what's not. And obviously it's working because NPD contribution, while overall I showed you 3.4%, e-commerce is 10%. So it's a question of distributing that innovation and making it available to a wider audience. Tea, our hyperlocal drive continues. Market share, as I mentioned, in volume terms, we were down 50 bips, value we were down 113. But we do expect, given the focus on execution, given the fact that our geographies of the north, where we are higher weighted, and rural seeming to stabilize a bit, we do expect to make this and more than make up for it as we go forward. Salt, the story has been expanding beyond the base Tata Salt, and here you'll see very clearly the amount of launches that have happened in the value added spaces, whether it is iron, zinc, light, super light, focus on rock salt, and value added salts from less than 1% in FY20 are now up to 5%, significantly higher price indices, and overall our salt share has gone up by 76 bips on a MAT basis. Innovation, I talked about, we started at a 0.8, we are now up to 3.4. We have roughly doubled our launches compared to last year. And it's not only foods and beverages, it is new categories, including expanding Himalayan and entering the protein space. Digital has been a huge, huge move for us. We are completely on clouds, no servers. We run a single instance of SAP. Our entire front end is now digitized, and we are looking at taking it one step further now. Our entire supply chain runs on Blue Yonder IBP systems, and we've got dashboarding across functions, across businesses. The key is now to leverage these pipelines that we have laid and the data that we gather to move into the next phase of data-driven NPD, things like web crawling, social listening to drive NPD, leveraging AI/ML to drive procurement, take revenue growth management to the next level by running analytics much more rigorously, and sharpen our spends on marketing with very, very clear data-driven ROI spends. We had announced our global simplification, which was 2 parts, which was reducing the number of international entities as well as delisting and merging Tata Coffee. We have made significant progress on that, and we expect somewhere in Q2 to be able to complete the NCLT process and thereby then start the process of collapsing the international entities. Apart from that, we've consolidated our ownership in JVs in Bangladesh. We've terminated our JV and we are setting up on our own out there in South Africa. We upped our stake to take majority control, and the founders will still continue with us to continue to drive the business there. New engines of growth, moving beyond tea and salt, focus on Sampann, ready-to-drink, Soulfull, and the ready-to-eat, ready-to-cook portfolio. It's up to now 15% of our revenue in the India business, and strong growth continues. Combined revenue growth was 53% for FY 2023. We have made significant progress on the acquisitions that we have made. Soulfull, we acquired in end of FY 2020, it was 180 crores. It is upwards of 600 crores right now. Very, very high innovation to sales as we expand our portfolio, and we've expanded our footprint and capacity significantly. Distribution up 70% year-on-year. Soulfull doubled in revenue last year. The rupees 10 pack was instrumental in reaching 3,000 outlets. Masala Oats has been tracking ahead, and we've gained significant market share in places that we've already distribute this. RTE, RTC, we are slightly behind on our timelines, but now the international expansion, which is key on this business, has kicked off. Starbucks scaling rapidly, 10th year. We are now, we crossed the 1,000 crore mark. We added 71 stores, which is a record for Starbucks. We are now in 41 cities and 333 stores now nationally. You will see an aggressive expansion even going forward. More than that, we have also run this pilot, which we called Moonshot, to and fine-tuned four options to drive extra traffic into the outlets. A, enhanced beverage offerings, including milkshakes, filter coffee, and masala chai. New Pico size, both for affordability as well as ease of consumptions for the Indian consumer. Number three is revamped our food to offer shareable and fresh options, and refurbish interiors to make them less intimidating, more brighter, and more inviting for Indian consumers, especially as we roll out to tier two, tier three cities. We have put out our sustainability goals out there and on track or executing against the commitments that we have made. In terms of the macro environment overall, we are now seeing a slight downtrend on tea prices, but keeping fingers crossed because there is a lot in the macro environment which can swing this. Coffee had started coming down but is now stable to slightly upwards bias as we go forward. In terms of the businesses per se, India packaged beverages, 3% volume, 1% revenue, overall value 113 bips down, volume was down 50. We do think that given the stress seeming to slightly reduce on the rural and especially the northern parts of the country, we will start seeing volume growth and market share coming back quickly. I already talked about salt volume growth of 8 and revenue growth of 26. Market share was 76. Value-added portfolio is now 5% of our mix. Tata Sampann continue to grow strongly, growing 35% for the quarter, with the full year growth being 29. Margins are almost back to normal. Soulfull doubled during the year. NourishCo, 80% revenue growth, and Tata Copper is 2.2 times of its size. Tata Coffee, overall growth 11% in plantations, 20% in extraction. A large part of this driven by coffee prices, but also enhanced number of customers and NPD. Starbucks, I talked about. International, the good news is we've taken pricing across markets between pricing and cost restructuring, overall international EBIT margin is now coming back to its normalized phase. We're just about 100 bips off from where we were on international business versus the same quarter last year. More or less maintaining our market shares in UK, US, as well as Canada. Okay.
Yeah, thanks Sunil, and morning everyone. We've had a good quarter, as Sunil mentioned. We'll first talk about the standalone performance, and if you see here, we have a revenue growth of about 12% and more than proportionate EBITDA growth in excess of 20%. So strong performance by the tea business, where we had volume growth of 3%, as Sunil mentioned, and trend of improving margins compared to where we were in the previous couple of quarters or so. I think same holds good overall for the foods business, as you will see. So strong margin growth, strong top line growth, driven both by volume and price. Moving on to the consolidated results, and the numbers are with you, where we have 14% top line growth, 12% in underlying terms. Roughly out of that, half and half is volume and price. So it's a quarter where we've had volume growth coming back in different parts of the business in different degrees. And within that, overall, the growth portfolio of Sampann, Water and Soulful doing exceedingly well. In terms of profitability, we have sort of come back in this quarter to the kind of EBITDA margin levels that we had in the same period last year, more or less there. But the point to be noted was that in the earlier quarters, international was lower than in the previous year, whereas the absolute profitability in this quarter of the international business is more or less in line with the previous year. So we've arrested the decline. It's sort of stable, driven by price increases that we have taken, and in addition to various cost restructuring efforts which are ongoing. You will see more of that as we go into the next year. Moving on to the next slide, this is just a recap of financials and what we said in terms of EBITDA. You're seeing that we are more or less coming back to where we were on track in EBIT and EBITDA. Exceptional items in this quarter include a small element of acquisition of stake in our Bangladesh JV. So we had to account an accounting gain. There are restructuring costs. No major movement on the tax line. If you look at the share of profits from JVs and associates, not called out here, but it's in the statutories, you will find that it is slightly, the loss is slightly higher than the same period in the previous year. We had a slightly higher loss in the North India plantations, where we don't have crop in this quarter, and Starbucks did well. Moving on to the right-hand side for the full year, you're seeing 11% top-line growth. The EBIT or EBITDA growth is lower than what you see in the quarter. So the quarter you're seeing, overall the ratios being much better than the full-year performance, and that we see to be an improving trend. In terms of share of profit from JVs and associates for the full year, you'll see that the loss is reduced because of increased performance of Starbucks. So if you move on to the next slide, this is a standalone performance, and again, here I'll call out what I've already said, that the EBITDA growth is more than proportionate to the top line growth in the quarter, and also for the full year we've seen strong growth in terms of performance relative to top line. So the underlying foods business is doing very well, salt in particular, driven by premiumization. We've had variants like Tata Salt Light, Tata Salt Immuno, Rock Salt also doing very well in addition to the base salts. And as I mentioned, the growth businesses have also done well. So moving on to the next slide in terms of segment performance, you'll see here that in India business, we have an improvement in segment results more than proportionate to the top line. In terms of international business, it is flat to marginally lower. But if you look at the absolute numbers, 127, 128, it's flattish. And if you see the previous quarters, you'd have seen that it was lower. That's the point I made earlier. Branded business did well in the quarter, driven by improved coffee prices. And that is sustaining going into the next year. So overall, in terms of proportion, India revenue 70% and 77% in terms of EBIT compared to 70% in terms of profits. So the proportion of India and the profitability of India continues to be better, and that's the trajectory you will see more of going into the future. That's it. So with that, we'll hand you back to the moderator for to Sunil for any concluding remarks before we open up for questions.
Yeah, so if I look at FY23 in a nutshell, A, is we've seen huge amount of volatility, geopolitical, commodity, currency, crude, and stress across different parts of our businesses. But now we seem to be seeing green shoots, especially in our salient markets for tea in India, and remain cautiously optimistic. I wouldn't say that we are out of the woods as of yet, but we have started seeing volume growth coming back. Impact of inflation and monetary tightening on economic growth and demand seems to be slowing down in terms of the upward trajectory, but I would keep my fingers crossed and monitor it closely. If I summarize FY23, we delivered a double-digit top line while balancing margins in an extremely volatile and inflationary environment. Tea business in India was subdued due to demand challenges in our key markets, but we do think we've put various interventions in place. Volume growth has started to come back and we hope to continue this. In spite of the price increases that we took on salt, we continue to gain market share led by strong execution. Margin is now mostly back to its normative range. Growth businesses have been on a strong trajectory, whether it is Nourishco ready to drink or it is Soulful or Tata Sampann. Everything has delivered as per expectations. Tata Starbucks is on a strong wicket and the game now is to accelerate store openings still further. In the international business, huge amount of work done to combat inflation and adverse currency movements with pricing and various other structural interventions which have been put into place. And like LK said, not all of this, you've seen it flow through. We do expect in the next two quarters, you will start seeing more of this flowing through into the P&L. Given the significant input cost inflation, increasing salience of the new businesses, we have minimized the consolidated EBITDA margin and we will continue to focus on driving profitable growth. There is one more point that I would want to make upfront is we have changed our reporting disclosures and we have gone to a statutory reporting of advertising and sales promotion. You will see the numbers coming out in the annual report. Going forward, while we will continue to report the statutory numbers as is, any extra information we are more than willing to provide. And just one or two extra points I would like to make on that is not all the improvement in the India EBITDA has come out of A&P squeeze, number one. Number two is, please remember when you say advertising and sales promotion, we're still not counting the discounts, trade promotions, etc., which happen to be captured in net sales. So there is a whole bunch of price, consumer, trade, advertising, etc., which contributes to growth of the businesses. And yeah, so any extra information, more than happy to provide. Nidhi will give it to you.
Thank you, Sunil. Back to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Vivek M. from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sunil and team. Sunil, starting from where you left, so can you just help us with advertising spends for at console as well as at standalone levels?
So Vivek, overall for the year, on a standalone basis as well as consolidated, we have increased in absolute terms versus last year. For the quarter, it has been a bit lower than what it was last year. But you have to remember, it's also planned around all our promotions, activities. And as we've seen growth slowing down in certain geographies, we've taken more action on pricing. On salt, we've taken aggressive price increases. We've given back some to trade to make sure we oil the channels to drive volumes. So yeah, while it has been a slightly lower, but the intent is obviously to keep fueling our brands as we go forward. Quarter to quarter, you will see movements going up and down. But overall, the intent is not that we will cut advertising and drive bottom line. That's number one. Number two, when you look at the standalone, it doesn't still portray the picture of our India business in totality, because things like Soulful and Nourishco are outside that. If I remember the numbers right, there has been upwards of 50% increase in the Soulful and Nourishco businesses on A&P for the quarter itself.
Got it. And Sunil, is it still possible? So I understand you have moved to what is the, you know, let's say bare minimum requirement, but in your press release, can you put advertising number, because neither it is, you know, let's say competitive info which you can't share, nor it is, you know, something that we can ignore. So it will be very useful if you can continue with that, you know.
I think Nidhi and company will make it available to you on an ongoing basis in the quarter. We'll see if we can add it to the investor presentation, but otherwise Nidhi will share the numbers with you.
Okay, got it. Thank you for that. The second question, Sunil, is on international margins. So there's a smart recovery in margins. Where do you think it settles, you know, in the next few quarters? Do you think we go back to the historical levels?
So Vivek, the intent absolutely is not only to go back to historicals, but improve from there on. As we've always maintained, net EBIT margins of the international business have always been accretive in my mind to the Indian portfolio. Right now, with the pricing and the cost takeouts that we have done, pricing, for example, in the UK, we took pricing only a 15% price increase only in Feb. So you're not seeing the whole impact flow through. Or there are structural cost actions which are still work in process and should be completed by end of this month. So I think between quarter one and quarter two, you would see everything coming in. But I would expect international margins to come back solidly, if not better than where they were before we started off.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sunil and Nidhi and LKK, sir. Good afternoon. My first question is on the tea business. So just wanted to understand from you, Sunil, since you took over, let's say, over the last 3-4 years, has there been a more broad basing of the tea revenues in terms of the state contribution? I understand that you have certain states where you are very strong, certain states where your market shares are very low. So just wanted to understand the latter, where the states where you are low market share. What are the strategies there, and have they borne any fruit, and are you seeing sort of, apart from the core states of the northern territories, where of course there is a macro issue and that's why you're not growing, but apart from that, have we seen sort of some amount of improvement in states where we are weak, and do we like have a specific state-wise strategy as to how to grow market share in different states where we are underrepresented?
So Percy, very specifically, yes, we do have a cluster-wise strategy for implementation by cluster. The brands are different, the pricing moves are different, and the A&P spends are different. So very specifically, for example, we are weaker in the south, stronger in the north. Again, in the north, if you peel it off, while we are strong in most parts of the north, eastern UP is a weakness, so we need to make up in eastern UP, for example. There are very specific distribution, pricing, advertising, product moves put in play. In our weaker markets, we have made traction, and you would have seen that resulting in our market share till about 2 quarters back. We were on an upward trajectory on market shares. Unfortunately, this is a mathematical exercise where A, semi-urban and rural is where we have issues. Our portfolio was stronger in the mass to the value segments, which came under pressure. And that came specifically in the geographies of the north where we are stronger. So a host of different permutation combinations because of which we've seen a slip in market share. But that slip in market share is a reality. So going forward, there are 2-3 very, very specific actions that we are taking. And this is not only to boost tea volume and share, but this is to boost the overall portfolio. Like I said, when we had started 3 years back to drive efficiency, we had created one common distribution system which was selling both tea and foods, and you saw the synergies coming through and the top lines being driven as a result of that. But now as we go forward, we are realizing that now this is also becoming a bottleneck for our growth, because it's the same salesman now selling a far, far wider portfolio, and there is a, for want of a better word, I'll say data overflow on that end. So we are now splitting the routes in all 10 lakh plus towns, which is where we have scale both for food and beverage to carry two separate salesmen. Apart from that, as I mentioned, our weakness in market share was primarily in semi-urban and rural. And to that extent, in the first round, we had focused on building distribution in urban areas, and in the semi-urban rural, we had